chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1. If you don't have a Bible, it's all right. There's one in the pew rack in front of you, or you can grab your electronic device. I like using Takarta Bible. It's one of my favorite Bible apps, but they're all good as long as you'll use them. That's the one I appreciate, is the one you'll use. Luke chapter 1, although I'm a old school paper guy. I like paper. Luke chapter number 1. I'm doing all this babbling to give you time to find Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. If you found Luke 1, say amen. All right, we're going to read responsively, which means I'll read the odds and you'll read the evens. So here we go. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thine womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we love you and thank you, Father, for loving us, for coming to this earth and to walk on this sod, and Father, to identify with us and to take our place on Calvary. We worship you, O God. You are worthy to be praised. And today, Father, as we look to your word, help us. Write it upon our hearts. Change us, O God. And if there's one among us that's not a born-again believer, Father, may they find Christ today. And for us, your children, grow us and stretch us. May we, like Mary, say, Behold thy servant. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way. God intervenes. I don't know if you've ever had an intervention in your life, but God intervenes. Look, the only reason you and I know anything about God is because God intervened in the lives of humanity. You must understand, people say to me, oh, no, I was looking for God. No, trust me, God was on your trail. Because Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father draw them. So God is drawing you. God had been working in your life, and that's why you sought the Lord. You know, God always uses what I call his surprises for his immediate glory and for our good. He created a perfect world, and we as human beings messed it up, made it a chaotic mess with our sin. And God could have left us in our mess, but God decided, no, he would not forsake us. And he came and took on the form of a servant, the Bible says. Took on the veil of flesh. And through his death, burial, and resurrection, God says he's going to work all things together for our good. And so I love the fact that God intervenes. But you know, sometimes unplanned pregnancies or unexpected calamities and unforeseen trials and hardships, you've got to understand, God will use that. That's all part of the all things that God will use in your life. God will use the good, and God will use the things that you don't think are so good. The things you would have chosen for your life and the things that you're like, if I was in a buffet, I might have skipped that section. But God knows what's the best for all of us. So to understand Jesus, I want to encourage you to understand a little bit more about Mary. There is a lot of unbiblical confusion out there about Mary that is not part of Scripture. Some people teach the Immaculate Conception that she was somehow born without sin. But the truth is she had to make an offering for her sin after Jesus was 8 days old. We saw that in Luke chapter 2. And besides this, sin passes from the father to the child. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. For as one man, not one woman, but one man sinned into the world and death by sin. Therefore, death is passed upon all men that all have sinned. Well, what about her perpetual virginity? Well, the thing is, her and Joseph went on to have 4 boys and at least 2 girls. Matthew 13, verse 55 and 56 actually names the boys. Mary was a wonderful lady. She was a godly, pure lady, one that all of our children should ascribe to be like, but she was not sinless. Nor was she a go-between between us and God. There's only one mediator between us and God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. But she did give us the best advice. Listen, the last thing that was ever recorded that Mary said was the best advice any of us could get, and that's in John 2, 5, where she looked at the servants at the marriage of Cana of Galilee and said, Listen, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. That's the greatest advice anybody could get. Whatever Jesus said, just do it. I think Nike tried to steal that, but Jesus is the one who Mary's the one who coined that phrase. So God intervenes in the life of humanity. That's what this is. I got a text last night from one of my teenagers who I love, who said, why do we celebrate Christmas? Because we're celebrating the fact that God intervened in our life. He could have left us in our mess. And he'd have been right to do so. But God said he'll never forsake us or leave us. So he intervenes in us. Isn't that awesome? So as we get into the text today, look at verse number 26. It says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, it's interesting. If you read the first part of the chapter, you'd find out about the pregnancy of Elizabeth, Mary's cousin. So Luke is giving you some timestamp here. Look, it's in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Gabriel shows up to tell Mary. Now, it kind of helps us explain this. But why do we celebrate Christmas? You know, I've seen tapes and video clips of when Nixon said that the greatest event in human history was the fact that man walked on the moon. But according to the Bible, the greatest event in human history was when God walked on this earth. That is the greatest event in human history. And Luke wanted to take care to explain how Mary's story and Elizabeth's story are interconnected. Now, look at verse number 27 here. You see the commitment Mary had made to God. Look at this. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, which was also prophecy that he'd be the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. That word virgin means she'd kept herself pure. She had not given herself away. She was waiting for God's choice for her life. You know, the world only values purity because it wants to be the first one to soil it. That's really all it is. And Mary lived in Nazareth. Now, this is something I learned this week. This is so cool. I've been reading the Bible for almost 30 years. I love it. I learned this week studying. Nazareth was a town where the Romans had set up a garrison. It was a military town. They were under occupation. And every vice and vile enterprise that comes along with military cities and port cities and things of that nature was there and set up shop. But Mary remained pure in a town that was known for sin. Why? Because Mary cared what God thought. Mary cared what God wanted. And premarital sex is a sin, y'all. We need to teach our kids that sex outside of marriage is a sin because the Bible says so. Not because that Baptist knucklehead down at the preacher down at the knucklehead church says that. No, the book says that. And of all the hundreds of ways men and women may have sexual whatever, there's only one that's actually approved of God, and that's inside the bonds of marriage. So Mary cared what God thought. She really did. She was keeping herself for God's choice for her. But look here, in verse number 27, we see Mary's commitment to Joseph. It says, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Espoused means they were engaged. She had committed herself to Joseph. Mary trusted God to send her the man that God willed for her life. And Mary kept herself for that man. That's what that word espoused means, is that she kept herself holy, H-O-L-L-Y, and W-H-O-L-L-Y, completely, only for Joseph. Their marriage hadn't happened. Now, in the Jewish marriage ritual, there's three steps. Number one, the matchmaker or the parents would get together and form the match. And then number two, if the kids kind of got along and thought this was a good idea, then the groom would pay the bride price. And like a dowry, pay the father the bride price for his groom. And then he would leave and go back to the father's house and prepare a place for her. Are you starting to see the picture of Ephesians 5? Huh? And then when the place was prepared, the groom would come back and take the wife to himself, and they'd be married, and they would go into that new place and consummate it. And that was the picture of the marriage, just like Jesus, who came to earth and paid the bride price, went on home to build a spot in heaven. John chapter 14, verse 2, I will prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's why they did, behold, the bridegroom cometh. This is what Mary was expecting. This is what Mary was hoping for. She was saving herself. She was preparing for the day when Joseph would come to town with his friends and someone would shout, behold, the bridegroom comes. She was keeping herself. She cared what God thought. She wanted what God wanted for her life. And in verse number 28, God intervenes. God intervenes in Mary's plans and dreams. Look what it says in verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail. That means rejoice, thou that art highly favored. Your purity has pleased God. That's what you're favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Do you know what it means to be favored? Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. I may mention this later again. Do you know what favor is? Favor is when that little bitty baby toddles up to you and puts their hands in the air. That feeling that wells up in your soul, that's favor. You look down on them with favor. God looks down on Mary with favor because of her purity. Because she chose God over herself. Chose God. The Bible says in Psalm 145, God is nigh unto all them that call upon him. God is not a God that's far off somewhere out in the by and by. He is near and nigh to you today. That's why he said, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. James chapter 4 and verse 8. He's not ashamed to call them their God. Hebrews 11:16. Do you realize God has chosen you? Now he's leaving the next step up to you. He's leaving the choice up to you. Have you chosen God for yourself? Have you chosen God over yourself? Have you chosen God over your preferences or your race or your sexual orientation or your preferences or your likes or dislikes? Is God more important to you than those things? Have you chosen God to be first in your life? It says, thou art highly favored. That's what it says there in verse number 28. No other woman in all eternity is going to get this opportunity to carry the Messiah. God entrusted her with the birth of her son. And brothers and sisters, you understand children are only lent to us. They're only on loan from God. God owns them and God expects us to return those children to him as saved, sanctified, serving souls of God. That's what he expects. They're only on loan from God. Can God trust you like he's about to trust Mary? Can he trust you? Blessed art thou among women, it says. You could say this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Verse number 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said, fear not. Why would he say that? Because they're incredible-looking beings, and you haven't seen one. Anybody seen one lately? No, I didn't think so. At least you wouldn't admit to it. Huh? But if you saw one, it'd be like, whoa, Mary. He says, behold, I love this. Behold, God gives her a commission. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Of all humanity of all time, God has chosen you. You will bear my son. You'll call him Jesus. Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. Look at verse 32 and verse 33. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there shall be no end. He shall be great. That's the Son of God. He shall be the Son of the Highest. That's God the Son. He'll be the throne of his father David. That means the Son of David. That's what they called him 167 times in the New Testament. The Son of David. He would be of the house and lineage of David. He would reign over Jacob forever. That's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. That's the everlasting Father out of Isaiah. Not only would Mary's conception be miraculous, but she would be carrying the Messiah, the mother of the King of Kings, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Now, what astounds me, and I get astounded easily, obviously, is the fact that Mary goes, can I ask a question? Pardon me, can I ask, would you? You're getting all this information like drinking out of a fire hose. You're standing in front of this glorious being and they're explaining what's going to happen. And you're like, pardon me. That's what she says here in verse number 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I mean, I can only imagine her astonishment. But she had returned. Why did she say this? She had determined in her heart ahead of time to remain pure until her wedding night. Be good if we taught our kids that, boys and girls. It'd be right and righteous and holy and God-honoring if we taught our children to stay right with God and stay pure until their wedding night. Now look at the response she gets from the angel. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. This conception will happen via the Holy Ghost. And the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. This will be a supernatural event, Mary. The holy thing born of thee. Do you see that? That holy thing. This conception would be of God. And he shall be called the Son of God. Then he goes on to verse 36 and 37 to try to provide her some assurance that this can actually happen. Look at verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived in her old age. And it is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. He is quoting the Abrahamic covenant of Genesis 18, where he said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything impossible with God? Listen, Mary, trust me. God knows what he's doing and he can handle it. How many times do we stop, ask a question and go, but how's that going to happen? Can you actually handle it? Maybe I need to help God along with a credit card, or maybe I need to help God along with my own schemes and ideas. That's what Sarah tried to do when she gave Hagar to Abraham and to be his wife, trying to help God along. You know, God is telling Mary, listen, remember your cousin Elizabeth, who's like old and she's having a baby? Trust me, if God can do that, I call it resurrection power, because that which was alive has been brought back to life. That which was dead in Elizabeth has been brought back to life, and she is going to bear John the Baptist. But look at Mary's response. If you don't learn anything today, then let this response be our response. Look at verse number 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. I am his servant. This sweet, submissive, godly spirit that Mary had was her response. She decided to set aside her own dreams of a normal life and accept the complications of obedience. I mean, she knew her place in the Lord and his kingdom. Do you know your place in the Lord's kingdom? Are you his servant, or is he yours? Is that how you think it is? I was on the AM band the other day listening. Sometimes you get a good message. You'll hear a good preacher on the AM band. But I come across this knucklehead and said, you just need to say in Jesus' name and command the Lord. We don't command the Lord. Are you out of your mind? He is not my servant. I am his. Are you willing to set aside your dreams and your ideas and accept the complications of obedience? But look what she says. Be it unto me according to thy word. What is she saying? I willingly commit myself to the unconditional service of the Lord. I willingly submit myself unconditionally to the service of the Lord. Whatever you want, God, is what I want for me. Can you say that to the Lord and mean it? Can you honestly say, I'm submitted to the Lord, and whatever you want is fine with me? You can say that if you trust him. The problem is people mess with us, right? You get coworkers, they'll pull pranks, and of course you got all these stupid robocalls. Your social security number has been give me a break. Hit the zero button, and when whoever it is from a foreign country comes on, give them the gospel. Might as well. You can't take the gospel to the wrong address. Isn't that right, Brother Jose? You can bring it. If they're going to call you from India, give them the gospel. Maybe they'll take you off the list. I don't know. But people mess with us all the time. And we're like, is that what God is doing? We think God is trying to mess with us and play with us like a toy. No, you don't know the God that I serve. He loves us and he only does things that are good for us. But let's be honest. Mary hadn't told Joseph yet. Mary hadn't told her family. Mary hadn't told the community yet. And Nazareth is a military town. Ain't nobody going to believe she's still a virgin. Nobody. Remember back in John chapter 1 and verse 46? Nathanael came to Philip and said, hey, it was Philip who came to Nathanael and said, we found him. We found him who's the Messiah, Jesus, the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? It'd be kind of like somebody saying, well, where's your preacher from? Well, he's coming from Vegas. Huh? And you'd be like, oh yeah, that's a great place. No, nobody's going to believe her, and she knows it. No one's going to believe it. Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, I don't know how this is going to work out. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. She submitted completely. She put her dreams aside and accepted the complications of obedience. But what's neat is, in the next verse, she goes to the only person on the planet who's experiencing a miracle birth like she is. Look at verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. All right, now I love you, but do you realize she did not say the embryo or the fetus or the unviable tissue mass? This is a babe. Now, if you go back and have the guts to read Luke 1:13, Zechariah was told before his wife conceived, you're going to have a baby. That baby's going to be called John, and I got a purpose for that kid. That's Luke 1:13-17. Brothers and sisters, do you understand? Every baby that's ever been lost, every baby, I've had four that have miscarried. Every baby that's ever been aborted, God knew their name before they were conceived. God had a purpose for them before they were conceived. You know, what are we missing in life today? And what has humanity lost in the millions upon millions of children that could have grown up and cured cancer or written beautiful poems and literature that could have transformed the world with new thoughts and ideas, but their lives were snuffed out? God says, I knew them, and I have a purpose for them. And I can't wait to get to heaven to see mine that have passed. Brothers and sisters, you have a voice. It's called a vote. You need to use it. But remember, you're supposed to side with God on these things. So vote your conscience. And Elizabeth praises God. Look at verse 42. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me? I can't believe this. The mother of my Lord should come to me. Look, the angel never told Zechariah and Elizabeth that Mary, her cousin, was going to carry the Messiah. How did she know? She's filled with the Spirit. It's called Holy Spirit discernment. God gives you discernment so you can understand what's going on around you. That's, if you're walking in the Spirit, then you'll have discernment. You'll know what's going on around you. Verse number 45, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Elizabeth was praising God. But why did God have her go to Elizabeth's house? Because Elizabeth was going to encourage Mary in her decision to obey. He was going to confirm the word of God by the counsel of Elizabeth. Have you ever had that happen where God uses somebody to confirm? You're trying to make a decision. You don't know, go right or left, but God uses somebody in your life to speak truth in your life, and you get it, and you're like, man, that was from the Lord. I'm so glad I sat down and talked to them. Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you giving advice from your own logic, or are you giving counsel from the Word of God? You can never go wrong pointing people to the Word of God. And then Mary worships. Look at verse 46. My soul doth magnify the Lord. That word magnify means to make large, to make it huge, to look at God and go, God is number one. God is the biggest thing, most important thing in my life. How big is your God? I mean, we're coming up to the end of the month. Are you got more month than you got money? How big's your God? You facing a health crisis? Just how big is your God? When you're looking at the world around you and you're thinking to yourself, this place is going crazy, how big's your God? Are you giving God the biggest place in your life? Verse 47, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary realized she wasn't sinless. She needed a Savior. Rejoice. That means to find her joy repeatedly. That's what that means, to rejoice. Mary repeatedly found her joy in God, not in her things. She was and it didn't matter that she was a poor girl from a poor family. It didn't matter. She repeatedly found her joy in God. She didn't find her joy in her circumstances, living in a rough town like Nazareth and being brought this information from God. She found her joy in God. Rejoice in God my Savior. Look at this next verse. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. She saw herself as a servant, a bondservant, no will of her own. It reminds me of 2 weeks ago when we were studying Hagar in Sunday school. And Hagar was given to Abraham, she's a servant girl, given to Abraham to wife so that Sarah could have a baby through Hagar. And remember, servants, they're treated like furniture. Nobody talked to her. Nobody cared what she thought or how she felt. They'd walk by her and ignore her. But when she ran off and God spoke to her, she couldn't believe that God would speak to her. And she called him, "Thou God seest me." Do you realize God sees you? Of all the mass of humanity, God knows where you are. You've not been misplaced. God knows right where you are. He has you in this place of his kingdom so that you can serve for his glory. He knows where you are. He sees you. And Mary's astounded. "I'm nobody." He didn't call the queen of Israel, Herod's wife, to bear the Son of God. Didn't call the upper echelons of society or the wife of the high priest or a Levite. No. He called me from some backwater town in Galilee called Nazareth. He called me. God who sees me. "For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Do you recognize just how blessed you are? She recognized how blessed she was. I mean, what does the government got to take away from us to realize just how blessed we are? What has God got to take away from you to realize just how blessed you are? Mary, remember all her dreams and all her plans have been set aside for the complications of obedience. Whatever God wants, I want. And if I'm not going to have a normal wedding, then that's fine. If I'm not going to, because remember, snickers and jeers and inside jokes and scolding looks will be her ever-present companion for the rest of her life. Why, even Jesus, when standing in the temple and preaching, they called him illegitimate, talking about his childhood. Even to this day, your Jewish friends believe he's the illegitimate son of a Roman soldier that raped Mary. That's who they think he is. But that's not who he is. Do you recognize that you're significant to God? Because God, she did. Do you recognize the significance in time? It said when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son. You know, it also said that David served his generation and fell on sleep. Do you realize God has you here right now for a reason? It's why he didn't have you live 50 years ago. It's why you didn't live 1,000 years ago. This is your generation. This is your time. This is when you're to serve God. He's calling on us because this is our time. He called on Mary because this was her time. This is when he needed her. And now God is calling you and I. Can you honestly say, "I am willingly surrendering my will to serve the Lord continually"? Verse 49, "For he that is mighty hath done great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree." God had not chosen somebody from an elite portion of society. God had chosen her. "He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich hath he sent away empty. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." Do you realize God has never failed in one of his promises? Not one. She knew, "This is what God has for me. And my trust is in him." Do you know where you fit in God's plan? Are you resolved to do his will no matter what? Are you willing to follow through? You know, faith is not a feeling. Faith is a decision based on confidence in the person our faith is in. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Is it more important to you to find relief from your pain than to put your eye on the one who allowed your pain? Is your eye and thoughts on the circumstances of 2020, or are you keeping your eye and your thoughts on the God who allowed 2020. And even though your family and friends and co-workers will not understand, will you be faithful? Mary is an excellent example of faithfulness and true godliness and purity that all of us could ascribe to. Let us stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. But she knew she needed a Savior. You died today. Are you sure you'd go to heaven? What are you basing that on? Are you born again, like Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3? What is your faith and trust in? Mary knew she needed a Savior. Mary knew she needed one that would take away her sin. Brothers and sisters, let me ask you, do you know the Lord as your Savior? When did you get saved? How did you get saved? I wasn't there. Can you remember? You were there. What is your faith and trust in? If you'd like to settle it today, I'm going to pray, and Pastor Pedro's up here. He'd be happy to show you in the Bible how to trust Christ as your personal Savior. Christians, are you willing to put aside your dreams and plans and commit yourself wholly to the purpose of God and serve Him? Our Father and our great God, we love you. I pray, God, that you would strengthen us and keep us. Help us to do thy will today. If there's one among us that's lost, may they be saved. And for us, your children, let us submit like Mary did and follow thee. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As she plays and sings, won't you come? If you've got a financial need or you've got a health issue, Pastor Pedro will pray with you. As we prepare for baptism, there's plenty of time for you today.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you specifically for what this week, the 25th, what it represents to us. Lord, what a blessing that you came to earth, that you were born of that lady named Mary, who did say, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Lord, help us to have that same spirit, that same heart's desire. Lord, we pray that you would bless your people in a mighty way. Lord, help this week, Lord, to be a week where we commemorate your advent, you coming to earth and taking on the form of a servant, taking on human flesh, dear God, and experiencing what we experience so that you could be that great high priest. Lord, that Savior, that that understands everything that we go through. Lord, bless us now as we continue with our service, as we have this baptism, dear God. Thank you for that as well. Lord, bless your folks and bless the remainder of the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.